you've got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to be in the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter number 1. And I'll tell you what, I've been just living on a high ever since Easter Sunday. And it was wonderful to see the crowd that was here Sunday, and not only just the crowd, but the presence of the Holy Spirit that was in this place. Acts chapter number 1 and verse 1. He said, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. He's the only one that can do. Others can teach, but he's the only one that can do. He said, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion." Now, for those of you that may not know, maybe kind of new to the Christian faith, when it talks about his passion, they're referring to his death, burial, and resurrection. The treatment that he endured while he was suffering on the cross, the stripes that he bore upon his back, the piercing of the side, the thorns upon his head, all of that was considered, that is the passion of Christ. That is what he's talking about here. "After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." That's enough of the reading this morning. You might keep your Bibles open. I'll be referencing a few other passages here. But I'm preaching this morning on he's still alive. He's not something that we just celebrate once a year. Most other religious leaders, they have a tomb somewhere that their leader is buried. The Buddhists have a temple of the tooth. They have one tooth inside of that temple. But our Lord and Savior, his tomb is empty. There are certain tribes in Africa, they'll leave a bone in their hand to help them to cross the river. I'm thankful that I don't need a bone to help me get across. I have the power of the Holy Ghost that will help me cross the River Jordan when it comes my time to cross. Just a few days after he died and rose again, they had a plot. We're gonna give you a large sums of money to tell to say the disciples come and stole him away at night. You know what? They never did find the body. It wasn't there. Thomas Carlyle, a renowned Scottish historian, in his day there was a great philosopher, and he came up with the ideal. He said, "I'm going to start my own religion to replace Christianity." Thomas Carlyle began to think for a little while, and finally he spoke, and he said, "If you do," he said, "you need to speak as no man has ever spoken. You need to live as no man has ever lived. Let them crucify you, die, and on the third day rise again. If you want to get the majority of the world to believe in you, then and only then maybe your religion will stand a chance." The great philosopher decided that that wasn't such a great ideal. We are the only one that can tell the world that we have a Savior that lived and died and rose again. I think about how short we fall. We celebrate Easter once a year. I begin to do a little bit of studying. You know, the author, Luke. Luke is the author of the book of Luke, and he's also the author of the book of Acts. I didn't know if maybe some of y'all may have been aware of that. But Luke wrote, and those two books in the New Testament consist of right at 28% of the New Testament. Luke was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. Luke was a physician. And in the writings, he acknowledges Theophilus in both books. In the book of Luke, he acknowledges him as his most excellent. Theophilus was a convert under the witness of Luke. According to historians, most likely Luke was his personal physician. I know that according to history, next to Caesar, there was high-ranking officials. And Theophilus was one of those officials. And God used Theophilus in a miraculous and unusual way. He used Theophilus to pay the scribes to write and record the Word of God and to preserve it. But here's the miraculous thing, is God used the devil's money to pay God's servants to write God's Word. Y'all didn't get as excited about that as I did. He used Theophilus, who got his living and his wealth from a wicked empire. God took the devil's money to pay the bills. You remember back in the Old Testament? God took Pharaoh's money. You remember the mother of Moses? She got paid from Pharaoh for watching her own child. The devil has always had to pay. He still has to pay. And if you read the book of Revelation, he's going to have to pay later on. We have some of the most perfect Greek preserved because of the funding of Theophilus. But there is over 400 different words in the book of Luke, in Luke's writing, that does not appear anywhere else in your Bible. Many of them are medical terms. Luke writes with medical terms, and it's imperfect grammar. Not only did God choose a great physician, but he chose a great penman. Luke was hung on an olive tree at the age of 84 years old. He became a martyr for the cause of Christ. Other people, other religions will not die for their religion. He was given the chance to renounce his belief. But there was something down inside of him, something that was so real and so pressing that he was willing to go to the olive tree and be hung and die for what he believed in. The book of Luke, you'll find the majority of the medical terms in the book of Luke. He engages entirely the book of Acts, or he changes entirely his writings in the book of Acts, writing down the sermons that preachers preached. If you're in the medical field, I'd advise you to go and read the book of Luke. If you're wanting to get more into the Word and enjoy ministry, and maybe be looking at a calling to preach I'd recommend you read the book of Acts. Study the book of Acts. The book of Acts, he writes down the sermons that preachers preach there. 18 sermons are recorded in the book of Acts. Chapters number 1 through 12, he devotes to Peter, primarily to Peter. Chapters 13 through 28, Paul, he writes, records of Paul's sermons. There is Stephen. There's one sermon recorded as Stephen. James, there's one sermon. Gamento, there's one sermon. Tetrarus, there's one sermon. Peter, there's 7 sermons. And Paul, there's 7 sermons. Those 14 sermons combined of Paul and of Peter, every one of the 14 sermons mentions the resurrection of Christ. Over 30 verses in the book of Acts mentions that Jesus rose from the dead. In the early church, the resurrection of Christ was a reality to them. They saw it. They talked with Him. They conversed with Him. They ate with Him. They saw the miracles. They saw Him do things that no other person could ever do. They were consumed with Him. Our problem: the resurrection is not as real as it should be. We hear a sermon on it, and we act like that we've heard it before. We just had a resurrection sermon Sunday morning. We showed off our new outfits. We got pats on the back of how wonderful and nice we looked. And by Wednesday night, we was just as dead as what we was before. If the resurrection is not real, you cannot have a personal faith. You heard me. If the resurrection is not real, you cannot have a personal faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12 tells us, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If you don't believe Christ rose from the dead, what are you doing here? If you don't believe He rose from the dead, where's your hope? I just read you the scriptures. We have many infallible proofs. He was seen of over 400. Prophesied that He would rise again, that He would die, buried, and rose again. Prophecy after prophecy fulfilled. Seen after the resurrection. Talked with the disciples, ate with the disciples. Listen to me, this is not just some storybook. He goes on to say, in verse number 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is an impossibility to be a born-again believer, a Christian, and denounce the resurrection. Let me tell you something. The Romans was professionals at making sure somebody was dead. Don't you ever doubt for a moment that he was just tortured and not crucified. He was graveyard dead. The breath of life had left him. He was no longer among the living as we know him. But the power of the resurrection was still inside him. If you don't believe that he is risen, you can have no power of his presence. If you don't believe he's alive this morning, then he can't be here. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, Jesus speaking here. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you know when he said this? This was after the resurrection. This is the last verse in the book of Matthew when he was talking to the disciples. Brother Isaac, if he had said this before the crucifixion, it might not have carried the same weight. When I'm in trouble and when I'm in need, you know who I can call on? I could call on Jesus because he said, lo, I am with you always. He's with me right now. He could be with us tomorrow, the next day. When you're in your lowest state and you're in need of help, you can call out the name of Jesus. Why? Because he is risen. We serve a resurrected Savior. We don't serve somebody that is dead and laying in a tomb somewhere. By the way, it's still Easter. David Livingston, if some of y'all ever gets a chance to read any of his work, he was a great missionary to Africa. 30 times he come down with fever they thought was going to kill him. He was attacked by a lion that almost severed his arm. He faced hostile savages on more than one account. But when he died, they buried him. They buried his heart under a tree in Africa, but brought his body back here to be buried. His heart was with Africa. But I'll tell you what, I serve one that his whole being is with me. He's here whenever I need him. He's he said he would never leave me. God is with you. It doesn't matter if you're in the hospital. It doesn't matter if you're in the nursing home. It doesn't matter if you're in your car. It doesn't matter if you're in your home. God will never leave you. He is here. The presence. I don't really know how to describe the presence of God. But I know how to tell you. What the presence is not. I've been out of the will of God before. I've had it leave me, and I don't want it to ever leave me again. And he didn't leave me on his account. He left me on my account. I was the one that walked away. I was the one that caused the separation. If you don't believe that he rose from the dead, there's no need for you to pray. I would have to ask you who you're praying to and what can they do for you if he's dead. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 tells us, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm thankful that we got a Savior that can hear and answer our prayer. But don't ever take credit for answered prayer. We're to pray in his name. Why? Because he's alive. He's the one that has all power. You know, the devil has access to heaven. You remember in the book of Job, you'll find there that now there was a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord. And the Bible said, and Satan came also among them. You got to remember, he's a fallen angel. He knows the power of the anointing. He knows the power of prayer. When you pray a prayer, you pray it in Jesus' name. Because when I pray a prayer and I don't pray it in Jesus' name, it has no authority. It has no power. But when I pray a prayer in the name of Jesus, it's not because I am worthy. But when he talks to his heavenly Father, and he says, they are not worthy. But would you answer this prayer for my sake? And the heavenly Father says, yes. It's not anything that I have done, but it's because of him. We may not be worthy, but he is. And I'm going to leave you with this. If you cannot believe that he is risen from the dead, then you cannot believe in your own resurrection. First Corinthians chapter 15. It hangs on one thing. If you believe. I've struggled long enough with this old sick body. Brother Robert, I wish they would have told me years ago, the older I get, the worse it becomes. I get up in the morning and I wonder what's not going to work today. I'm looking forward to a new body. I'm looking forward to no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more diabetes, no more memory lapse. I may not have Alzheimer's, but I got some timers, and it's creeping on fast. There are things that I tell you what, I'm not going to miss. I'll be honest with you. I'll be glad to get a brand new body. One that'll never grow old. One that'll never die. But it all hinges on one word. If. If thou believe. In verse number 50, he says this. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is risen, I have hope. If the Lord tarries, and I end up going by the way of the grave, they're going to place me out here, probably out here and over here at the cemetery. Ward Grove Cemetery is where I'd like to be planted. I want you to know this, church. It's not a grave. It's a piece of resurrection ground. Why? Because I believe that he died and was buried and rose again. And because I believe in the resurrection, I believe that I am going to be resurrected just as Jesus Christ was resurrected in a body that is free from all sin, free from all pain and sickness, and death will have no hold. The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Today, either you believe it or you don't. Either you believe the resurrection wholeheartedly or you don't. Luke gave us a recording of the apostles that preached 18 sermons in the book of Acts that he recorded and wrote down. 30 different times that they wrote that he is risen, that he is alive. Why? Because the message is not to be just for Easter Sunday. It is the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. We serve a risen Savior.